The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Amen. Sometimes the calendar is just plain confusing. Here we are at the beginning of a quarter when everything is supposed to be fresh and new, a time to begin again with a clean slate. Oh, papers and tests may be ahead of us, but at least for now, on this, the first day of the quarter, we're all caught up. And nothing is weighing too heavily upon us. We're all set for new challenges and new opportunities. On the other hand, however, the church year tells us that we're coming to the end. So themes of death and judgment are prominent. Time is running out. So we're not supposed to be relaxed. We're supposed to be ready. The end is near. So here we have two calendars. They really kind of contradict each other, don't they? But we're not through yet. But there's also the secular calendar. And that means that the holidays are upon us. And in truth, the holiday season trumps both the church and the school calendars by far, hurtling us into a time of busyness, frenzy, as we try to add to our usual routine all the shopping, all the traveling, all the merrymaking. And you know, as we get closer to Christmas, it becomes harder and harder to think about anything else. So we have real calendar confusion right now. But if we just kind of wait, this calendar confusion will take care of itself. I mean, from the standpoint of the school calendar, it's really just a question of survival. All we have to do is make it through the next 3 weeks, just do enough to get by, and then we've got the break and we can get caught up, especially that week after New Year's, and we'll get ready to go again. And as far as the church calendar is concerned, well, after this week, we get Advent. And then after a week or so of Advent, those themes of second coming and judgment kind of disappear, and the scripture lessons focus upon the coming of Jesus, and that brings us back to Christmas. So for both calendars, really, all we need to do is wait it out. The calendar confusion will resolve itself. Everything will be okay. Just wait it out. But in a certain sense, that's a metaphor for life, isn't it? Just wait it out. Everything will be okay. At least that's what St. Peter is saying in this morning scripture reading. Well, in fact, he's saying more than that, more than okay. Just wait it out, he says, and everything will be great. Listen again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Now that really is very wonderful, isn't it? And the scripture is filled with promises like this, and we rejoice to read and to remember these words. The problem, of course, is that the promises are all not yet. They're in the future. They're at the end, for sure, but not yet. And so we still have to wait it out. But that's the challenge, because we wait during a time of confusion, indeed of trials and temptations, all kinds of them. Our lives are never free from them. And so, in fact, all too often, all that we see are the problems. Our attention is on the here and the now. This is where we live. This is what we have to deal with day by day, moment by moment, we're not looking at the end. We're looking at the now. Now, of course, occasionally we solve a problem and things get to be better for a while, but it doesn't take long before another problem pops up, and indeed, lots of the time, maybe most of the time, all of the problems seems just to pile up. We can say that life is just one big heap of trouble. In fact, a common pattern of life is that things get worse, not better. I want to take just one example of this, our health, our physical health. I don't know how many of you are at the point of trouble yet, but at some time, sooner or later, you're going to get there. Something's going to go wrong, and you'll find your body breaking down. Maybe it's just a broken tooth. No, it's not that serious, but that didn't happen when you were young. Or maybe it's having to get bifocals. Again, something that can be dealt with, but it's a sign of getting older. But then maybe it be something more serious. Maybe the onset of a chronic disease, something that we can treat, but we definitely can't cure. Or maybe it's cancer. Or maybe it's heart disease. And then we find that the doctors can't help us anymore. And that's the end. And that's just one trajectory through life. We travel all kinds of paths. We've got finances, we've got jobs, we have relationships, we have families. And in every one of them, life presents us with challenges, trials, difficulties. So that we're always having to cope with something. Dealing with this, working with that, hoping that things will get better, but all too often discovering that they do not. And so, what do? Well, we have to put up with things. We have to endure. We have to survive. We have to wait. So, how do we do it? Well, again, St. Peter is quite clear. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Our greatest coping mechanism, indeed our only coping mechanism, but one that really does work, lies outside of ourselves in Christ Jesus. By the grace and the power of God, we know of an alternative to the here and now, another reality that draws us forward and out of our trials and temptations, and that is hope in Jesus Christ. Now, of course, a lot of people go through life by mouthing platitudes. You know, silver lining in every cloud, or it's always darkest before the dawn, that kind of thing. But the Christian hope is not a platitude. It's a reality, because it's grounded in something that really happened, the death and the resurrection of the Son of God. Now, that's absolutely true. Peter was an eyewitness to it, and he gave his life in martyrdom for the reality of it. But you know what? Jesus didn't die and rise again for himself. He did it for us. He did it to create a new relationship between us and our God, so that our self-centeredness, our monofocus on the here and now, our failure to trust in the promises and the words of God would no longer separate us from our Creator and Judge. For on account of Jesus, God becomes a loving and a forgiving Father who brings full and complete salvation to us. So, in point of fact, we can wait it out. Because the prospect of the end is greater, greater than anything that we have to go through now. Like the calendar, therefore, at this time of year, life itself can be very confusing, indeed very difficult, very trying, very tough. And we're foolish if we try to deny that. But there is a better reality, there is a greater reality to which God is calling us at the end of time. So what we need to do is just wait it out. But wait it out in Jesus, who was dead, but is risen again for you. Amen. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.